Haines fisherman is rescued as his boat sank in Lynn Canal, and the area sets rainfall records again over the weekend. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. A Haines fisherman is safe after his boat sank in Lynn Canal Sunday night. 25-year-old Woody Paul was rescued near William Henry Bay after his boat, the Kyra Dawn, began taking on water and then capsized. The boat sank in about 900 feet of water, about a mile from shore, according to the Coast Guard. Paul was rescued by Chris Olson on the Gabriella. Other Haines boats were also reported in the area and ready to assist. Paul's mother, Carol, was able to speak to her son Monday morning from the Gabriella, she said. He told her he went into the water as the boat sank, but was able to hang onto the roof of his bait shed. He didn't have time to put on a survival suit, but was holding on to one. He was in the water about 5 minutes before being rescued, she said. Coast Guard Petty Officer Wesley Shipley, watch standard at Sector Juno, says they were preparing to send an H-60 helicopter from Sitka when the Kyra Dawn initially reported trouble, but they canceled the flight when they received report that Paul was rescued. The Coast Guard Prevention Unit is investigating the sinking. A gale was forecasted for Sunday night in Lynn Canal, which led many fishermen to anchor early. But Haines fisherman Norm Hughes, who was headed for anchorage when the Kyra Dawn sank, said the weather kicked up faster than expected.
I was about a mile out of Mab Island anchorage, and you could see this black line on the horizon coming across up the channel, and it was topped with all these white caps, and that's a weather event coming your way. And so it's like, oh man, you know, and I didn't make the anchorage before it hit. So it went from 1-footers to 5-footers in 20 seconds.
7-foot seas were reported, and wind gusts at Eldred Rock Lighthouse reached 71 knots, according to the National Weather Service. Haines set a record, another record, for rainfall in a single day on Sunday, breaking a record from 1954. Skagway received less rain this weekend, but enough for a flood advisory to go into effect on the Tyre River overnight Sunday. That advisory was lifted Monday morning. National Weather Service Juno forecaster Tim Steffen says Haines weather observer Paul Swift reported about 2.25 inches of rain for the weekend, and the airport reported just over 3 inches in a 48-hour period.
While it's not like an extraordinary amount, it is still impressive.
Steffen says the weather was part of a low-pressure system in the eastern Gulf that brought northern winds into the area Sunday morning. North winds were at about 25 to 30 knots near Eldred Rock Sunday morning, Steffen said. But then the system changed rapidly.
And then as that low continued to move up the coast, and it moved inland into the Yukon area, so then we had the lower pressure to the north and the higher pressure to the south. So the winds switched around very rapidly as that did so, and what we call strong pressure rises. High pressure was building in quickly from the south. That led to the sudden switch of southerly winds.
By about 9 p.m. Sunday, south winds were gusting at Eldred to 71 knots. That system moved through on Monday, although areas near Yakutat and over the Gulf were seeing thunderstorms early Monday morning. Steffen said the upper Lynn Canal can actually expect some drier weather the next couple days, although the evenings will start getting cooler. The Skagway Assembly last week seemed to have a light agenda for its meeting, but a rumor on the street drew a crowd to the meeting to give the Assembly an earful about White Pass Yukon Railroad. Word of mouth and flyers around town spread the news that White Pass might be considering building a structure on the railroad dock. That idea didn't sit well with some residents and business owners. Some residents questioned if such a building would conform to White Pass's current conditional use permit for the dock area, and others, like Dennis Corrington, said the building would affect the integrity of other businesses in town.
A 3,000-square-foot gift shop on a dock on the other end of town is a herding corral, absolutely. And for all of us who have spent time and money building real estate up and down on Broadway, gift shops, coffee shops, all of the businesses have all been focused on this main street. And for you to cut the jugular vein and keep all of the people on the other end is going to be a carnage on Broadway.
Just to be clear, such a building has not been confirmed by White Pass. President John Finlayson was out of town Monday and unavailable for comment, and the municipality of Skagway does not have any filings with the Planning and Zoning Department detailing any plans for a White Pass building on the railroad dock. Tyler Rose of White Pass was at Thursday's meeting and said the company was looking at many business opportunities, but didn't elaborate about any plans for a dock structure. He did say the company is looking at options, knowing the proposed Tidelands lease extension is not a foregone conclusion.
But I'm here to tell everyone, we look towards business development a lot of times, and there's nothing that's set in stone as far as that construction. Part of the reason we're looking at other opportunities is it's not a foregone conclusion that there will be a lease extension. It'd be irresponsible as a business, as you all are, not to look at a variety of options. It doesn't mean anything's going to happen. As far as anything choking down the dock and tour operators, we have, you know, there are thousands of tour operators. We have hundreds of tour partners. We want to work with those people.
Assemblyman Dan Henry said most assembly members had not heard of any discussion about a building until that afternoon. And even then, it was just word on the street. But Henry said if such a proposal was pursued by White Pass, there would be plenty of opportunity for the public to be engaged in the process. The Haynesboro Assembly meets Tuesday with a variety of topics to tackle. First up is an appeal to a cease and desist order from Haynes resident Gary Keller. The borough ordered Keller to stop using a shooting range on his Beach Road property after borough manager Dave Sosa and police chief Bill Musser determined it was a safety hazard and nuisance. While Keller initially appealed that decision, a letter in the meeting packet outlines a compromise the borough and Keller seem to have struck, allowing him to continue to operate the shooting range. According to Sosa's letter, Keller agrees to install an appropriate backstop, sideberms, and overhead in the target area, as according to the National Rifle Association's range sourcebook. The assembly is also taking up an ordinance having to do with heliskiing special events. The Commerce Committee worked on an ordinance that would allow event organizers to request permits for special ski events outside the ski season in order to better plan. The ordinance would also allow event organizers to request temporary additions to the ski map for their events, and each event could be for up to 14 days. The Assembly will also take up the issue of off-premise signage. Under resolutions, the Assembly will discuss one about creating a motorized recreation area in the town site. The Assembly will also discuss harbor garbage disposal and comments from the borough about the Southeast Alaska Transportation Plan. A complete meeting packet and agenda is online at the Haynesboro website. The Haynesboro Assembly meets at 6:30 Tuesday evening in Assembly Chambers. Alaska Power and Telephone has purchased the Gustavus Electric Company. The 32-year-old homespun utility is the life's work of Gustavus local Dick Levitt and his wife, Linda. KTOO's Jennifer Canfield has more.
Alaska Power and Telephone President Bob Grimm says he has no plans to significantly change how the utility is operated. The one change Grimm mentions is that soon customers will be able to pay their bill with a credit card. Regarding the sale of the utility, Grimm says he was first approached by Dick Levitt over a year ago.
Eventually, we came to an agreement, and it included the hydro, and we had to get all the regulatory approvals, and we just finalized things up in July.
Dick and his wife, Linda, made the choice to sell the utility because of Dick's health. He suffered a stroke 2 years ago and hasn't been able to manage the utility the same since.
When the sale closed, it was definitely mixed emotions for me. It was like giving up a child that I had raised. On one hand, I knew I had to give it up and get out of the business because of my health. And on the other hand, you're still giving up something that was my life's work. In that respect, it was hard to see it go.
Levitt is a trained electrical engineer, so when he saw an opportunity in Gustavus to start an electrical utility, he went for it. The utility was created in 1982 and was diesel-based at first, but Levitt says he knew from the beginning that wasn't going to be sustainable. Levitt needed access to Falls Creek to bring hydropower to Gustavus, and to do that, he needed an act of Congress.
And of course, it was in Glacier Bay National Park, which made it difficult. Probably in the mid-80s, I started approaching the congressional delegation about legislation that would allow that to happen, and it took close to 20 years to get that to come together. It was a long, arduous process, but we eventually got it done.
Congress's stamp of approval allowed the state of Alaska and the National Park Service to swap land, giving Leavitt the access he needed to Falls Creek. Leavitt prevailed when the Sierra Club protested the hydro plant during the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission's approval process. The 800-kilowatt hydro plant was finally completed in 2009. Leavitt says he hired AP&T as consultants on the design of the hydro plant, so he feels confident about their ability to maintain the facility. The next hurdle for Gustavus Electric is to get the National Park Service in Glacier Bay as a customer. The Park Service still runs its facilities on diesel, despite efforts by Leavitt to get them to switch. Grimm says convincing the Park Service to step away from fossil fuels is a priority. In Juneau, I'm Jennifer Canfield.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Matt Miller and Jennifer Canfield for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.